This episode is brought to you by 3Chi. 3Chi, it rhymes, is the industry leader in Delta 8 THC products. Delta 8 is a federally legal version of THC and is a more functional alternative to marijuana. It gives you an amazing buzz and great body feel, but with a clearer head and less anxiety and paranoia. Go to 3Chi.com, the number 3CHI.com, to shop for Delta 8 edibles like cookies and gummies, or to shop for vapes, tinctures, and oils that can be used to make your own homemade edibles. Use code GUNS21, G-U-N-S-21, at checkout and receive 5% off your order. Must be 21 to purchase.
Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
I mean, it didn't make sense. This never happens, and I've been waiting for this to happen. I'm driving down the street, me and my lady on our way to a little barbecue, cooler packed up, ice in, 12-pack of Corona. She has her tequila soda drinks called Two Chicks. We got the meat. We're rolling down the street, and there's a goddamn Gucci wallet in the middle, like a woman's Gucci wallet.
A Gucci wallet.
In the middle of the street, and it's like a, it's kind of a fast street, but there was nobody behind us or in front of us. And I was going slow enough that I'd seen it in enough time to also dip over to the right, pop out, scoop it up, and see what we got going on. Like, I'm hoping that it's full of cash and that's it.
Yeah, what if it's some like rich lady that just, you know, only operates on cash and she has like 10 grand in
there? Like, what if it's just a wallet of cash that's somehow dumped out of the back of her Yukon or something? But anyways, we open it up. There's an ID in there. So automatically, like, damn, now I feel bad. This is like a woman's wallet. It's a fake Gucci wallet. Me and my lady are looking for some sort of phone number or something, you know. So we look at a couple of the cards. You know, it's got a laundromat card in there, a prepaid debit card, a get out of jail free card because somebody was part, their family is a Port Authority cop. You know, and then there was a $100 bill crunched up in there, like crumbled up.
Almost like they forgot about it.
Like they almost forgot about it. And I was like, well, we got to at least keep the hundy. We'll give back the wallet. It's worth, you know, we could drop it off at the police station because it's worth it. Like if I lose a wallet with 100 in it, if I get the wallet back, but the money's not there, at least I don't have to redo everything.
I would tip that person who brought me the wallet back that $100. Like, oh, thank you for me not having to freaking cancel all my cards, get new ones, all the shit you got to do when you lose your wallet.
Yeah. And then, you know, I we're like, well, we're keeping the hundo. We'll get back the wallet. And then we're like, well, what if it's your last $100? And they're like, nah, fuck that. So like for 30 seconds, we were going to say, all right, I got some gas money. But then we said, no, put it back in. We want this karma. We need, like, anytime you get such a strong case of a real, you get a real good testing, you know?
Yeah, because sometimes God or the universe, whoever you believe in, sets these things in motion to test you. And sometimes when you take a wallet back and you don't take the money out of it and you return it to the person, then something good to you happens afterward. You hit the lottery.
Yeah.
They say that 37% of people that hit the lottery are people that find someone's wallet and return it without removing the cash.
That's a good, I'll take those numbers. You know, so we were thinking, all right, well, listen, now listen, if this is me at a different point in my life and I'm at $9 in my bank account, I'm sorry. I'll drop this off. This $100 is up for grabs, kid. Like this was meant to be for me to get to the next payday. Like,
I might even sell your ID to a fugitive that's on the run.
I might go to the black market with the whole wallet.
Yes.
Now there was also a credit card. It was at some other dude's name in there. So there was a little there's a little sketchiness to do with the wallet. The house, though, we said, we're on our way to the police station. We said, fuck it. We Googled the girl's address.
Good move.
Wham. It's a mile away. I said, let's just go do it. Let's do this. We're this far into this mission. It was later that night. We were that far into the mission. We go right by the police station, which they really didn't give a flying fuck about the girl's name. Because my lady starts getting worried. Well, you don't usually see a wallet in the middle of the street. Maybe It's some sort of abduction has just happened.
Yes. What if you go to her house and they're like, oh, it's her parents or something. They're like, thank you for bringing this. We haven't seen our daughter in 3 days.
Exactly. That's
where
what
did
we
you
were thinking.
Find this? Right.
And we're like, well, what if now I'm balls deep in a case? I have to take back a couple of the of small town detectives over to where we located the wallet.
Exactly. You might have to actually apply for the police department, go to the academy, work the street for a couple of years, apply to be a detective and get that assignment to even pick up this case because they're probably not going to do anything about it.
Yeah, I might have to have a full career change.
Yes.
This podcast almost came to an end, not because we wanted to, because it had to. So we pull into the house. Nice house. A lot of cars out front, which I was a and not like a party set of cars, like people there for parties. It's like everybody, they all live here.
Okay. Okay.
So my lady, all right, here we go. She goes to take it back. She runs up there, knocks at the door. Lady comes running out and goes, I knew it was my wallet as soon as I heard the doorbell. And then she just said, thanks. And that was it. And shut the door. Like she wasn't ecstatic. I'm like, she didn't look. I would have came out in the front lawn. I would have said, thank you guys so much. I would have waved the other person in the car.
Yes.
Like, that's a monster fucking hookup. You were in the middle of the street.
I would have had questions. Where did you find it at? I've been wondering where I lost it.
I mean, what do you take on this? Now, then she did close the door, said bye, and that was a wrap. Didn't even think about giving us the C note.
Jesus. All right.
Then, again, you know, it wasn't about the money, but I
couple
mean, nothing.
Couple things. It's a fake Gucci wallet, yes. Right? It has a crumpled up $100 bill and a credit card belonging to somebody else that you have no idea the association between that person and her.
And a laundromat card. That's always a red flag. I mean, I've had those in my shit, but what I'm saying is that there's some shit going on. Prepaid debit card as well, Todd.
Oh, come on. All right. See, there's some shit going on in this girl's life. This isn't the first time her wallet's been left in the middle of the street. Is she a street walker? Is she, I'm not casting judgment. I'm just throwing out some possibilities here. If we're going to lay out a board and start, you know, exploring all the possibilities, is she a prostitute and merely, just lost it while getting into some John's car?
Also, there was a card in there that signified that her family member is a cop for the Port Authority of New York. So that was like the front and center card. Also, there was a thing in there, a piece of, like, we're looking for a piece of paper with a phone number and shit, right? So we're looking, like, trying to get the person's identity. And there was an incident report in there from just a few days ago, which we don't know what the, I thought it was like a car accident, but when we got there, none of the cars were banged up.
Ooh. So it's one of those little things they give you, like, here's the incident number if you need to call in.
Yep. That was not, there was no details on there.
Well, we know it wasn't for losing or getting her wallet stolen because that was inside the wallet.
Yeah.
Unless she's a fortune teller.
Yeah.
The Port Authority cops information, did it say it was her relative or you just assumed because the last name was the same?
It said family member of a certain, and then it had the officer's badge number and all that.
Really?
But it was a nice colored card, like a nice card, family member of Port Authority police officer or police department or whatever with the name on it. I'm like, man, how do you get your hands on one of these guys?
That sounds like kind of a get out of jail free card or something. Like, oh, if you come across me, I can just wave this and maybe I don't get a ticket for driving fast or something.
So my stepdad used to be, you know, he was a good tow truck driver, right? Like he was he worked at this auto body spot, but it was also, they had wreckers and it wasn't the one that just goes around trolling places to tow people parked where they're not supposed to. It was the one where he was the one the cops called during on accidents and shit like that.
Right.
So he knew all the cops very well because he worked with them on a night in and night out basis.
Mm-hmm.
He had a card that was basically get out of a speeding ticket kind of thing. That he could whip out if he got pulled over.
Yeah. So it must be some kind of situation like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or she has a fake counterfeit Gucci purse. Maybe this is a fake counterfeit family member of a Port Authority cop card. Unless you print it out.
And the other guy's card, the debit card that was not hers, was tucked behind her ID, not in the normal credit card slots.
Ooh, hidden.
So some would have to say, did we just facilitate... some criminal activity by not – because obviously if you're doing illegal shit, she hit a bump in the road by losing this.
Right.
But did we just facilitate the continuation of a crime spree of some stolen identity?
Yeah. Man, I think we should follow up on this case.
Well, here's the thing. I followed up on it. I just got off the phone with Officer Harris. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't.
What if you like screenshotted everything that was in there, mm-hmm. and then like we run the guy's name that was on the debit card? We find out like he's fucking been murdered or something, and we're like,
I was the key to the whole case, bro. But I decided. But we ended up, instead of going to the police with it, what do? We fuck around and give it to the chick. Now, what about the you? We talked about it briefly earlier, and you were wondering, well, what if you said, well, what if she was like in a, you know, maybe getting pulled over, some shit was popping off, she dumped it.
Yeah, what if she like threw it out the window because she needed to be able to lie about who she is?
Ooh,
because she's like, oh, there's a warrant out on me,
mm-hmm.
or something. I'm very curious about this incident report, like a little receipt that they gave her from that. Now, usually I think they only give you that if you like you're the reporting party or something, or if like, say you're in a, I don't know, they got called to your house for a domestic or something like that. And they're like, well, here's the incident number if you need to call and follow up because we took your husband to jail or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so now I'm real curious as to what that was about. We may never know unless, but you know the lady's name. So if she hits the news, you should Google so often. And you, if you see she pops up on like a police blotter or some shit like that, that would be cool. Like you were at ground zero of this investigation.
I mean, oh, wow. You know, you just never know. You know what I mean?
No, you never know. I mean, that's wild. Lives? With all these lives going on around us, we have no idea what's going on with them. And you got a little like peek in somebody's window to their life.
Yeah.
By finding that wallet. It's fucking wild to think about.
But I also think whether it was criminal activity or not, I feel like the purity of us taking the time out of our day to drive a mile out of our way to drop off a fucking wallet to some girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just that. I think that whether or not we facilitated a criminal activity or we just saved a young woman a lot of hassle, either way, both chalks up a little step towards heaven.
Yeah, I think it's worth a little karma. I think something good's coming your way. I can't wait to see what it is.
And if we listen closely, you can hear the footsteps, and that's the good karma coming over, walking our way.
It's walking.
In route.
They're getting
in
louder. Route.
Hey,
and louder.
Also. Then this Thursday, which will be in 2 days, we'll be in Philadelphia at Helium, Todd.
Mm-hmm. I just put a couple ads out for it. You might see it pop up on your Instagram and Facebook feeds. If you do not, then all you got to do is go to gunsblazingpodcast.com.
That's it.
Hit the little event details button. The link pops up. Hit it, and you can get tickets. I mean, what? If you live anywhere within, usually we say 7.5 hours. I get Philly traffic probably a little bit burdensome. So let's go five and a half hours away.
Yeah,
you should come to the
deal.
Show. It's an 8 p.m. show on a Thursday. Who cares?
Get there. Thursday's basically Friday, man, just a little bit early. You know what I mean?
Take Friday off work so you can sleep in the next day.
Hey, you know what? Let's say you left Philly, but you have all your homies still there. Mm-hmm. Get on the horn right now. Mass text. Start calling. Letting them know we're doing buy one, get one. Same exact price tickets. Hookup deal.
There we go.
Hello.
You don't see that very often.
Get on the horn.
Speaking of shows, I had two Tiger King shows, you know, this weekend, two different casinos, and they were fun. But on the second show Saturday, these friends of John Rinke's showed up, and there's two guys and the one guy's wife that spent 5 years at the GW Zoo. One guy was manager for a while, and the other he's a house builder. Like, he runs his own construction company. So he has all this free time, right? He's like, if I don't want to go in, I don't have to go in. I own it. So he basically got wrapped up in that war for like 5 years, right? As a volunteer, he would go there. He, like, all the structures you saw in the enclosures and shit, like, he built those.
Okay.
For that place. So he was telling me this story about, so they built a bedroom onto Joe's quarters for the one guy that managed part-time, he and his wife.
Yeah.
And then this guy would just sleep on Joe's couch. So he said, one day I was sleeping in there, and there was an older tiger cub was starting to get pretty big that would, you know, it probably weighed, I think he said it probably weighed 150 pounds or something. It was running around the house. Like it was just getting to that age where it's going to have to go to an enclosure soon, you know?
Yeah.
But it just had its run of the house. So he's like, I'm sleeping on the couch. And evidently, that's where this tiger likes to sleep. So he's not liking it. And I go to sleep and I wake up and I'm like, ah, Jesus Christ, I'm soaking wet. And he gets up and that tiger had gotten on top of the couch and pissed all over it. Like a full bladder of tiger pee just coats this dude, right? So he's like, God damn it. So he gets up and he takes his clothes off and he showers and then he puts new clothes back on and he goes to sleep and he has to shoo the tiger off the couch. He's like, get off, I'm trying to sleep. So he lays down and the tiger keeps grabbing hold of him and shaking him, right? And he's like, get off, and keeps pushing it off. And finally, the tiger like bites him. Not like angrily, but kind of like, hey, fucker, this is my couch. Like bites him enough that his calf bleeds. Now he's bleeding all down his leg. And he's like, God damn it. So he has to get up and he bandages himself and he showers and everything. And then he lays back down. He has to shoo the tiger off the couch again. And then he goes to sleep. And when he wakes up in the middle of the night, he has all this pressure on him. That tiger is laid directly on top of him and has its face against his face. Oh. And he's pinned down. And whenever he would try to move, that tiger would be like, get a little like that growl going. So he's like, oh, fuck, I guess I'm sleeping like this the rest of the night.
Oh, my
so
gosh.
When the other guy was telling me when he came up, he got up in the morning to make coffee. He walked in and this tiger had him sandwiched, just like cheek to cheek, just laying on him with his tongue hanging out. And the dude's just sitting there with his eyes open, looking at him like, fuck this couch.
I can't believe the guy didn't. He deserved it, bro. After all the chances the goddamn tiger gave him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I piss on you. I nudge you. I bite your calf.
Mm-hmm. That means get up from the couch.
That's three things, buddy. You know what? At this point, if he got his face bitten off, he deserved it almost.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not fucking with that tiger. I would have been. I mean, I guess they're more well-versed in tigers than I am. But as soon as mm-hmm. I see, oh, you got a tiger just roaming around in here? Okay, I'm not staying in here. I'm going to go get a Holiday Inn Express down the road, and I'll just drive here in the morning to do work.
Or I'll just go sleep on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, I know the older you get, it starts to hurt the hip there. You know, that's where the pain comes from when you start to get older. I could sleep on tile as a younger dude.
Right.
But still, lay on your ass. You know, just lay on your back, bro. Go the old cowboy style. You know, the head propped up a little, the hat over the head, the arms crossed, just out cold, bro.
I know. I can't imagine sleeping underneath a tiger. How fucking funny, too, is the tiger's like, oh, you think you're sleeping there? And he just fucking pisses all over him, just coats him with his tiger piss.
That's wild, bro. I love that, dude. We got our Patreon party this Saturday. No, I'm sorry, two Saturdays. This is July 4th Saturdays. Weekend. We'll be in Philadelphia this weekend with the ACL doing content.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, we have the show in Philly, obviously, Thursday at Helium. We got our... Mm-hmm. We got our shit going on this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're looking at keg stuff. We're just doing big stuff. But, you know, the thing is this, Todd, is that summer is coming no matter what. It's July 4th weekend. Summer's coming. And I hope everybody here is ready to roll out and unveil your beach pod because you're in luck. Because our friends over at Manscaped just launched their fourth generation performance package, which includes the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, Todd. That's the 4.0. Okay, and we're talking about, why don't you just go ahead and compliment your dad bod or your six-pack with a trim from the leaders in male grooming. Okay, the sun is shining. It's calling your name, fellas. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. And you don't get ready, Todd, for hot guy summer at full price. We're doing 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com/gunsblazing, Todd.
Oh, my God. It's time. It's time to bundle up with Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Inside this package, you're going to find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, the Crop Preserver ball deodorant. I mean, who wants their balls stankin' when it's time to go? You know, when it's time to get down, you need those balls smelling fresh. You get the Crop Reviver toner. You get the Performance Boxer Briefs, probably the most comfortable pair of boxer briefs I've mm-hmm. ever covered my balls with. And a travel bag to hold all your goodies. I mean, what a package.
I mean, listen, there's been years. Listen, I'm old enough. I had hair in my nuts before the internet, Todd.
You did.
Okay. You know, and I remember I was one time I was at a baseball game and shit wasn't going my way. And I remember I had happened to have a razor and I decided to shave my nuts right there at the baseball game bathroom stall.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember cutting myself.
Ooh.
And I was embarrassed, Todd. I had cut my nuts and I had to go down to the baseball game, the facility maintenance and the medic.
Mm.
And so I'm sitting there at a baseball game, laying on my back, holding my legs in a very vulnerable position so I can get bandaged up and taken care of because I had cut my nuts. And you know why? Because I didn't have Manscaped.
I mean, we lived in archaic times back then. People don't have to put up with that anymore. It's not such a dangerous operation as it used to be back in the day.
Uh-huh.
It's waterproof, Sean. This thing is waterproof now. In the shower or in the wild and from your chest pubes all the way down to your ball fro, the Lawnmower 4.0 is the best trimmer for each and every one of you that owns a pair of balls.
And I'm going to challenge everybody right now. Once you get your 4.0 performance package, do me a favor. You want to feel real freedom?
Oh.
You're going to take, you know, you're going to take your trimmer. You're going to walk outside in a thunderstorm, butt ass naked, out in your backyard so you don't get arrested, okay? And you're going to shave your balls right there in the rainstorm, guys. That's called freedom. You can't do that with any other trimmer because they're not waterproof. This is Manscaped, though. This is a new ball game. You're going to have a you're going to confidently be shaving your nuts in a thunderstorm. No electrocution, no cutting. It's just you soaking wet with fresh, clean balls.
Safely grooming yourself out in the wild as nature intended. And you get 20% off plus free shipping. Why are you not doing this? Just go to manscaped.com/gunsblazing. That's 20% off plus free shipping by going to manscaped.com/gunsblazing. Escape the shrubs and weeds of summer and shine with Manscaped. I mean,
so it's done, dude. Top people don't get it, Todd. I mean, listen, 9,000 RPMs, guys. Get your shit together. He can't even handle it.
9,000 RPM. Yeah,
360 degree rotary dual blade system. What are you waiting for?
It's like a ninja motorcycle running up and down your ball sack. Doing work.
20% off right now. Manscaped.com/gunsblazing.
Oh, man.
That's
what
I'm talking about. We just hook these people up, man. Hook ourselves up too, because man, I use all of our products.
Man, my balls are always so smooth. They always smell so good. I get so many compliments from short people in crowds that it's amazing. Yeah. I mean,
now from what I understand, the Indianapolis Weekly was going to go ahead and put you as smoothest balls of the month.
They were
in the city of Indianapolis.
They were going to. They were going to. COVID screwed it up, so I'm shooting for next month. But.
But guess what, though? You can have the smoothest balls regardless of the hardware, you know, or the recognition.
I mean, I know I have the smoothest balls. That's all that matters.
If, look, the recognition, is it nice? Yes. Necessary? Mm-hmm. No. Okay?
It's nice to be recognized by your peers, you know, obviously. Where other people that have balls are like, oh, I recognize you publicly for having the smoothest balls of all of us. But I don't need it. I don't need it. You know,
yeah, it's like, again, it's nice, but not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just a guy who enjoys having smooth ass nuts.
You know? You're talking about the wallet discovery.
Yeah.
There was one time on freshman year of high school. Mm-hmm. Somehow cheer that little alarm. Maybe that was only in my ears. My computer just said, bling, it's time to file your unemployment voucher. You know what? Go fuck yourself. I don't have to file unemployment for last week because I actually worked. So there.
Oh, look at that.
In my freshman year of high school, somehow they put me in this gifted and talented program. And it had like a Greek name. Like
high level hillbilly. That's Greek.
Yeah. So I'm like, I don't know how I ended up in here, but I'm in there with all the smart kids, whatever. Me and my buddy Kyle. But my buddy Kyle and I were fun kids. We were party kids, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We played sports and we party. And somehow we end up in this group with all the gifted and talented kids. So we go on a field trip to St. Louis. We're going to go to the St. Louis Zoo and something else. Mm-hmm. It's like a full weekend trip. We get there. They were doubled up in hotel rooms. And in our room, we snuck couple little flasks, little bottles of mm-hmm. alcohol. And we okay. thought, well, we're cool, right? We're the only two smart kids on this trip that's got booze.
Yeah.
So we'll invite the cooler smart kids to our room and we'll just get drunk on these two tiny little bottles of alcohol, mm-hmm. right? So we're like, oh, they might come in and search our room. We need to hide these bottles of alcohol. So we go up to in the bathroom and it had drop ceiling tiles.
Mm-hmm.
So we pushed up a panel, slid it back, and we reach up there and Kyle stands on the sink to hide our bottles of alcohol for later that night. And he's looking in there. He can see in there and he goes, oh, holy shit. I'm like, what? And he goes, starts handing down one bottle after another. There was a whole bar up there of alcohol. Like almost like the maids or something, the housekeeping people, that was the stash for the entire crew. Like maybe they come yeah. to this room and just get wasted, or they know they can go in there and get whatever kind of alcohol they want. There was rum, there was tequila, there was whiskey. I mean, anything you'd want. There was probably 8 different bottles of alcohol up there. So we get it all down, and now we got the party room, right?
We're yeah. gonna
be trashed all weekend or whatever. And also behind or next to the bed behind the nightstand, Kyle finds a wallet. Like it fell, right? And it was barely sticking out from behind the bed and next and also behind the nightstand.
You guys are on a roll.
We're on a roll. He pulls it out. There is a $1,000 bill inside this wallet. So now we're like, whoa, we have a real dilemma here.
Yeah.
This is a $1,000 bill. This is $1,000. And Kyle right away, he's like, dude, we have $1,000. This is going to be awesome. We're really going to party this weekend. And then I'm like, oh man, it's $1,000 bill. That's going to stand out. We're going to get mm-hmm. caught. Like we should turn it in. Let's turn it in. I talk him into, let's take it down. Let's turn it in at the desk. And then we can, it had a guy's ID in it too.
Okay.
We're like, and then maybe we will get a reward. I'm just, you know, wide eyed freshman. Mm-hmm. I'm like, we'll get like a $100-$200 reward or something. And that'll be cool. Plus we do the right thing, right?
Yeah.
So we walk it down there. We turn it in. We're like, hey, whoever stayed in this room last lost their wallet. Here it is. And there's money inside it. And they're like, oh, thank you. We'll get a hold of the guest or whatever. So we did. And they said, well, leave your phone number. We'll have them call your room. They said, we'll have them call your room. We'll tell the guys that the guy that you found it. And maybe he'll want to give you a reward. And I'm like, that's what I'm thinking. So we go back to the room. Half hour later, phone rings to the room. Guy that owns the wallet thanks us. He's like, hey, thanks guys. You didn't have to do that. I realized you could have taken that $1,000 and just did whatever you wanted with it. So I appreciate it. And we were like, oh, no problem. We just want to make sure we did the right thing, you know, and that you got your money back and your ID and all that. And he goes, well, I appreciate it. You guys enjoy St. Louis. And he hangs up the phone. And I was like, cocksucker. Cocksucker. We should have taken his ID and tried to get into bars with it. Took that $1,000. We should have went to a strip club and just freaking had us a weekend. And we didn't. And we got fucked. So
I had to come back around on a time you didn't know. But you know what? I don't know if that's, you know, listen, again, we don't know. Like if you stripped all of the good deeds like mm-hmm. anybody's ever done, would the outcome of their lives still ever change? Like hypothetically, if we can go back, if we had a test subject of time traveling incidents where we can go back, okay, here we go. Let's run it this way. All right. Now we play out 30 years after that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Nothing. Let's run it this way. We play out the 30 years. And would the 30 years be the same? That's the question.
Yeah.
Because this guy, you could have easily kept $1,000, which they stopped making those in 1969, bro.
Yeah, like this is something like the guy probably just always keeps in his wallet. It's either a showpiece or it was counterfeit for all we know. I don't fucking know. But, you know, it was $1,000 bill. If it were just like hundreds and twenties and shit like that, I probably just would have said, let's fucking divvy that up right now. It's 500 each. But
you could have just put the wallet back behind the table and even pulled it out a little farther so the next people do see it.
Right. I mean, I was smart enough at the time to go, you know, think, all right, have the presence of mind to know if two 15-year-old kids, 14-year-old kids try to pass a $1,000 bill in the middle of St. Louis, they're going to be like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm. Let's what year? You were 15. What, you were born in what year? 72?
I was born in 71.
Okay, so this is late 80s we're looking at here.
I was probably 14, right? Freshman year, you turned 15.
Sophomore,
I was 17 when I graduated. So,
yeah. So, yeah, you know, this is probably like, you know, 86, 87 or some shit like that.
Yeah. I probably weighed 110 pounds. You know, I'd have walked.
That was mostly cock, from what I understand, from what you said.
It was at least 30 pounds.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people don't understand. Dudes with larger cocks, it's more water weight, man.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are just dragging around a few extra ounces of fucking agua, kid.
It requires a lot of nutrients. It steals from the rest of your body. That's why I was skinny for so long.
I mean, my meat is full of electrolytes. Let that be known. pH balanced ass meat.
I used to have to just soak it in Gatorade.
I remember you told me that. Because I had come over one time and you said, hey, can you bring over 2 gallons of Gatorade? And I was like, what in the fuck is he doing? A marathon? Is he running a 10K?
Yeah, I had a bedpan, a hospital bedpan. Uh-huh. And I would just fill it full of Gatorade, and I would just, you know, when I was just watching TV, I would just lay my penis in the Gatorade bath and just let it soak in electrolytes, because it was just always dehydrating.
Yeah. Well, you know what I hate? I used to sleep naked, but then what happens is you get to tossing and turning, and the whole thing gets to wrapping up your body, and then with the pressure, it's the same as like when a snake, an anaconda chokes your body out.
It's the worst. It's the worst. I used to have a separate sleeping bag just for mine.
Yeah. I wrap mine up in a bun most of the time now.
Smart.
I just put it up in a bun.
It's really smart. It's really smart.
It's like a cinnamon roll.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks because you always have to have a king bed, obviously. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I always keep the tip pointing out kind of like the way a rattlesnake does when it's all coiled up so that I can still pee while it's in the bun.
That's smart. That's smart.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's just me smart. Doing what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, if I ever become a millionaire, I'm definitely going to go to the bank or wherever you got to go to buy vintage $1,000 bills, and I'm going to get a stack of them shits.
Oh, yeah. My buddy used to go to strip clubs. He always collected $2 bills, and he would have nothing but those when he would whip them out, you know, because he said at night, it's dark in there, whatever, and strippers just at a quick glance think they're 20s.
Oh, whoa.
So they give you a lot more attention.
Wow. You know, I didn't see this. I didn't see that little twist and turn coming.
Me either.
I just saw a fucking goofball out here, probably has a train set out here throwing $2 bills at strippers. He probably has a little hat on. He sits Indian style when he controls it.
It's got a little heart.
I'll have someone tell somebody next time. I'm like, bro, I bet you got a fucking train set, don't you, you clown?
Oh.
By the way, big fan of train sets. Okay. I'm just saying, now if you're a train set person, it's fun because it's a fun hobby and it's fun to do train sets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do all the little trees and whatnot in the ground in the mountains. But now if you're not involved in the train set, okay, which would, you know, that means you can clown on it.
Yeah.
It's a weird double standard. If you're in it, it's awesome. If you're not, you're a fucking goof. You could clown it.
Yeah. My dad and I were way into it at one point, and I remember he made this like platform out of plywood.
Yep.
And it's set up like its own table. And we'd go around his shops and look for pieces for it and stuff.
Also, that don't count in the creepiness, because it was with your father and that's awesome.
Yeah. But the guy that's like 50 and he lives alone and he's.
Let's say you had a train set that took up your whole attic and it's like not about the kids. Just Todd up there sitting Indian style with a fucking engineer hat on, you know, playing with his train set.
Then, yeah, I probably also have bodies somewhere in my yard.
Yeah, something's probably up. You probably buy a lot of sod.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're probably out there fucking smoothing a lot of sod out, watering the grass to make it look like nothing ever got dug up.
You might want to check the registry and see if there's a little red little alert button on my house. You know,
you just look
in your neighborhood.
Again, guys, you don't have to get ready if you stay ready. Head on a swivel, stay low. That's what's going to be on my tombstone. Don't forget that.
Head on a swivel, stay low. Check your six.
Yeah, stay low, head on a swivel, watch your six, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's where the swivel comes into play.
You got to keep your head on a swivel.
Oh, you know what I did? I did this on, I forgot to say, I went on Thursday with John, with Kincaid's, my boy John, with Dugdale. Mm-hmm. And then his homies, Tommy and Christian, we went to, they linked up with this guy named Johnny Drinks, who's got like 900,000 followers on TikTok.
Ooh.
Does a lot of drink stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, they had an influencer event. A bunch of TikTokers with a bunch of followers showed up. A bunch of dudes with fitness, like fitness dudes that were awesome. Bar guy, this kid, Bar Chemistry was there. Other awesome people, all influencers. And it was really like they had like a vodka company set up, some hot sauce company. And then Dougie he was in charge of the catering basically for his business on TikTok.
Nice.
And Kincaid's. And it was an awesome time, man. Played corn. I busted out my boards and bags. I took my truck. Obviously, I'm always going to roll with the boards and bags.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got one kid. We had a great time, man. It was awesome.
Where was it at?
It was in Wayne, New Jersey. This guy's house, the family house was incredible. Mm-hmm. Right on this like man-made lake. They had a little electric pontoon boat off their own little dock. I mean, nice. It was incredible, this backyard and this setup of their house. Well, I didn't see the other house. The rest of it I saw. I went in downstairs where they have a nice barbecue set up on the patio with nice tables and stuff. And then you go in the basement where there was like a full bar. If you just follow on Johnny Drinks on YouTube it's Johnny Drinks _ on YouTube. I'm sorry, not YouTube. TikTok and Instagram. And it was awesome.
Wow.
I have zero TikTok, but I had a lot of Instagram followers. So at least I fit in.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got my they had a chiropractor there too, promoting his shit.
Oh, really?
And I got a good back popping in, dude. Neck popping, back, man, all that.
Nothing feels better than a good back and neck popping.
No, bro. I'll take my legs and arms and just shove them in the wrong direction, bro. And let me hear all the popping, dude.
Just all the way up and down. You're like, oh, yeah.
Did the middle, did the bottom, then did the neck. And it was nice, bro. I mean, I'm telling you. He said, oh, yeah, you can see what's going on here. So your shit gets shifted out of place. And then next thing you know, you got one leg a half inch longer than the other because the way your shit shifted.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where back pain starts coming in, because you're fucking doing a little baby hippity hip hops and you don't even know it.
Yeah. Have you ever tried one of those inversion tables where you lock your feet in and you kind of lean back and you can hang upside down?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My buddy Casey in Long Beach, they had his old roommate, our old buddy Zach, had one in there. We used to dangle from that bitch.
They say that's the best thing for a sciatic possible. My cousin had one. He still has it. He uses it every day. He hangs for like 10 minutes a day.
I'm about to give you one then.
Yeah, because I guess it pulls all that shit apart that gets compressed by gravity and, you know, being, you know, just a regular dude that just, you know, doesn't, you know, compete in triathlons and shit. And so he just gets on there and stretches himself out for 10 minutes a day. And he's jacked. I mean, like, his is really bad because he was a Division I college swimmer for so long, right? He swam his whole life. And something about it just, you know, has his back all jacked. And he says, man, 10 minutes a day, he's like, I am good. But if I skip like 2-3 days, I could tell. Shit starts acting up again. So
really?
You might try to get one. They're not very much either.
Yeah, I did it. I was much younger back then. But I remember one time, and this will happen. If you're a young dude, you'll figure this out. Eventually it does happen from, you know, it may be 3 or 4 times throughout a lifetime where you just do way too much on your back, lower back. And then the next day you can't walk. Like, it's so fucked up that it hurts to move, like rolling out of bed. Like I was shoveling dirt for probably like 6 or 7 hours in my early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And then for like 2 days after that, I was like, I had to just pull myself around the house.
Ah.
Like I was on, I couldn't leave a couch or a bed. It would be like, and if you moved it too much, it was like this sharp, piercing pain. You're like, so like it was minimum. Like, I'm talking about slithering around the house like a loser.
Wow. I was going to get one of those inversion table things because I have a weak esophagus.
Yeah, you
so
do.
So I was
thinking, it's all that pain. It's all that plummeting it's taken.
Well, if I thought that, you know, the thought is if I hang upside down and I eat while I'm upside down, my esophagus has to work harder to push the food up to my stomach. Right now, it's a lazy esophagus like everybody else. I'm letting gravity help it, right? If it has to work against gravity to get it to my stomach, it's like building muscles. It's like working out your esophagus because it has to work like 10 times as hard to get from your mouth to the stomach.
Is this just to have a better swallowing muscle, like the stronger swallow? Like, what's the goal here? On having the stronger esophagus, Todd?
I just reckon I don't like when parts of me are weaker than they should be. You know what I mean? Like, nobody thinks about working out their esophagus. Like, make eating – You can eat heavier foods then. You know what I mean?
Okay, like, so you're saying if you want to just go ahead and just suck down some short ribs without chewing them, just go right ahead because you got the strong ass esophagus because you eat upside down.
Exactly, exactly. No, I'm never going to get choked. Nothing's ever going to get stuck there because my esophagus is just going to be like, and just pull that shit down.
Mm. Good point there. I didn't really think about the jiu-jitsu aspect of this.
Yeah, yeah.
What if you do this shit in fucking high, above sea level, like in Denver? You literally, your esophagus can, I mean, this could be some serious action here. We're talking about the strongest esophagus known to man.
Well, I'm going to train it in Big Bear. I'm going to go to Big Bear and just hang upside down from the inversion table and just eat three meals a day, maybe four meals a day.
What if you also just do a bunch of regurgitation too?
Yeah, and work it in reverse.
Yes.
It's like negative reps.
Like I'm telling you, I think you're on to something, man.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, this could also spawn off into the porn industry.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is where I got the idea.
A lot of people could use a stronger esophagus in the adult industry, you know, both men and women. I mean, listen, a lot of people are sucking cocks.
Yeah. I'll call the program CrossFit.
Yeah. There it is.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? If you could imagine if you can, you might want to make this you might want to move to the master class on this. You might have to hit up the master class people, maybe get part of their program.
Mm hmm. We just sell it to people in the porn industry. And then before you know it, you know, it's not just professionals. Anybody that wants better at swallowing will join CrossFit.
Yeah. Right? A stronger, you know, more durable esophagus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, borderline bulletproof, you know, almost like a Teflon. Then a woman in porn can call herself Teflon Donna. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or even if you call yourself Teflon Don as a gay male porn star,
mm-hmm.
people go, why they call you Teflon Don? Is it because my throat is literally it's like fucking the shield that Captain America runs around with. I could take cocks to this thing.
Yeah, an ammonium ass.
I could take several cocks and never stop. It just goes. I don't get sore. I don't have to worry about throat lozenges and the sprays. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think this is something that could really break through. We've got it written down right now. I'm going to call Mark Weinstein, my buddy from the documentary Fire. And he's always got startups going on in the tech industry, but also he's into fitness and nutrition. So I think that I will get a hold of him and see if he's interested in patenting this thing.
I mean, this could be a real program here. You know what I mean? We're talking about getting money, dude. This is the kind of thing that's going to help people cross a gap in the, like, you know, people have been, they have been plateauing for quite some time.
Yeah.
And now guess what? That's out.
Yeah, it's out. It's
a new plateau.
Yeah.
I could take this to, you know, I could compare this to aviation and man in flight. I could say that for some time we were grounded and then we got into the sky and then, you know, the atmosphere was our plateau, and then something like this came along, which could, some would say, the propulsion of the, you know, of NASA spaceships, and then we were right out of the universe and we were on the moon, Todd.
Yeah, people that are laughing at this idea right now think it's stupid also laughed at that guy that was on the bicycle with the wings on top of the barn tested the first chance at a human flying, and now where are we? I mean, I just flew to do two shows. You just flew to Des Moines, Iowa. You know, none of this would be possible if it weren't for that guy that everybody laughed at.
I mean, come on, guys. You guys got to think outside the box, man. That's what we do here. We don't just stop at A or B. We go to C, D, E, F, and G. Sometimes H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, and then even sometimes Q, R, S, T, U, V, and then the occasionally fucking wild times.
Why do we not train?
X, Y, fucking Z, bro. X,
Y,
Z.
Why are we not training in more things upside down? Like pooping. If you poop upside down, your sphincter muscle and colon has to work extra hard in order to get it out. And it's just going to make regular vertical upright pooping way easier for you. If you have problems right now, like you get backed up or whatever, you should be training to poop upside down in one of these inversions.
I'm not even sure I'm ready to help people strengthen their assholes after I just got done helping them have a Teflon bulletproof fucking Captain America shield ass esophagus.
I mean, you're going to be stronger on both ends. We might be creating the perfect human being.
This could honestly, this leads to the potential of someone being shot in their ass and the bullet coming out of their mouth.
Yeah. You can never, you're a person, you're almost a superhero. You're a person who can never choke on food, that can never be constipated.
No.
I mean, we're creating the perfect human being here.
There could be a chance here to suck down a corn on the cob and it comes out exactly back on the cob.
Mm. Now, you know we're talking about touring the country doing magic shows.
And guess what? I bet you, you'll be able to shoot the cobs out your ass. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to have that reflex. You're going to have that stronger colon exit. You know what I mean? There is a, listen, I'm not saying it's pretty, but we know that there's a lot of females out there that have a little trick they can do where they can, we know they do Kegels or whatever it's called, and they can shoot ping pong balls all over town.
Mm-hmm.
This, even better. Corn on the cob. Think potato gun, but on steroids. Asshole corn gun.
Yeah, and you don't have to load it from that end. You're feeding it from the other end, letting it pass through. Boom. Yeah. Now you're creating a fan base. This is a niche market.
Yeah. Hello, branding. Hello, it's us.
And let's say you just go with all organic corn.
Oh, man.
Now, I mean, now you're really hitting the palate of the times, right?
I'll tell you what. And the other people out there in the field, if you're in the field, if you're a free-range chicken, heads up, kid. Heads up. Now we're moving into the helmet market for the free-range animals.
What if you swallow the corn of cob, you take a ladle full of mayonnaise, and then you pour chili lime seasoning down your mouth, and you shit out our favorite Mexican corn dish. Elote.
What?
Out the other end.
That, I'm telling you, again, we might have to just delete this whole, we have to redo this episode, because, again, this is one of those things where I can see our smart listeners grabbing a hold of it and kind of running off with it, you know, and you can't blame them. We're putting it out in this public space. It's our fault, not theirs. They're opportunists. We're dummies.
Yeah. Well, we're creating opportunity.
I will say this. Everybody who listens to this episode, I'm going to need you guys to we have to make everybody sign an NDA before we can email all of our subscribers an NDA.
I'm just going to put in the description that if you listen to this episode, you are by proxy signing an NDA.
And
you're agreeing to the terms of the episode description, which is you will not disclose any information within this episode that's considered sensitive to trademark or copyright.
Wow. I'll tell you what, there's so much going on this episode, you know, and you just got to ask yourself, is all the karma already coming back? Is the karma already, has it redirected itself? And now our life, our exit in our universe is now the karma is where it's getting off at, you know?
The strengthening of the esophagus thing doesn't just apply to just the porn industry or people that just want to make sure they never choke on food. Let's think about the astronauts. You know how much harder it is to swallow in space because there's no gravity. It wants to float away from your esophagus. It wants to float up your esophagus and out back out your mouth.
Now, has there been an astronaut who has addressed this?
No, these are the things we don't see NASA addressing publicly, but these are concerns always. I mean, they're initially there were astronauts starving in space because they weren't able to swallow their food. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I can't swallow sometimes. The level of the strength of cat shit. These cats, when they first, before they start peddling the fucking dust over it, their little litter over their turds, there's something going on in the cat esophagus and the cat intestine that these guys may give me a run for my 42-year-old, never been cleaned out intestines.
Yeah.
And these cats are making me look like I've been eating organic fucking free range chicken and stress-free lettuce my whole life.
Yeah.
Kale.
The cat somehow has the ability to, like, you know, our poop, our excrement is for the purpose of getting rid of waste out of our body, but we're just a small percentage. The cat, with every bowel movement, evacuates itself of all waste. Everything that's an impurity that exists in their body comes out in that thing, and you can smell it for miles.
And I will say this, if you are somebody who's looking to clean your system out, and I mean, this really works, no bullshit, all bullshit aside, I have a Mexican bean recipe, a whole bean recipe. You know, you got to get your first you gotta, you know, you throw in some garlic, some onion, you throw in a couple other things. I gotta look back at the recipe. And you cook some peppers, you cook on some poblano, whatever, you brown them up, you get them a little bit blistered up. Then you throw in, you cook your beans in that. You put your water in there and you boil your pinto beans for quite some time. Then you throw some bacon in there. Maybe you cook the bacon first with the onion and everything. Then you throw the beans in, and then that you know, mixed in, you're boiling your beans in your onion, bacon, pepper mix. And you let that cook, and then, you know, you got your bacon in there, you got the peppers, the jalapeno floating, these beans. And then on top, you're going to throw a little bit of pico, maybe some jalapeno fresh. I am telling you, this bean recipe that I have, it will, you really don't want to go anywhere for 24 hours.
Mm. It's almost like a cleanse.
It is. It really goes right through you, because you're just eating, it's like a bean soup, right? So everything in there that has to do is just between the grease of the bacon, the bean itself, obviously, you know, makes you shit and fart. You got the jalapeno in there really loosening up the package deal. Mm-hmm. And I am telling you, it's an amazingly delicious soup, first of all. But then you're going to fart like you've never farted before. And you are going to go to the bathroom a decent amount of times over the next six, 3.5 hour blocks, which would be 24 hours, Todd, I believe. Yeah. I think I just pulled that out of my ass and it actually works out mathematically.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe not. But either way, that's not the point. The point is this. If you want my bean recipe, hit our DMs and I'll fucking have you shitting your brains out. No problem for 24 hours straight.
So this is the perfect meal to have, let's say 48 hours before a first date that you're really looking forward to.
Yeah, that clean way, that asshole out.
By the time you get to the date, even if you accidentally fart or you're caught in a situation where you just have to let one go, it's not going to smell because there's nothing left.
Yeah. I'd say go just to be safe on the safe side. Run this to 72 hours out.
Not 72 hours.
Run this recipe 72 hours out, not the 48. That's almost three days. It's a clean, strong 3 days just to be on the safe side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think that's how you market it. I think that's how you market this thing.
And if you want to step it up, make yourself a pot of coffee. You know?
Mm.
Now it's showtime.
The caffeine kick. It's like a fuse to a bomb.
Tick, 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 Ken. Tick, 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 homie. Poof. Tick, 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 dude.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta start promoting Louisville now. Got that in August. I got Fort Wayne in September. July is mostly just summer cookouts, okay? We got the ACL, we got Philly, and we got cookouts. We got a new grill over here at the house.
Mm-hmm.
I have some parts ordered. I will be picking up my grill dresser that I will be fabricating myself to fit the standards and the whatever else word I'm looking for of my barbecue setup, Todd.
Yeah, it's gonna be outrageous. I think it's something you could maybe sell one day.
I think so as well. I think I'm gonna have to get on however you get on some horns, get on horns with whoever manufactures tool cabinets in China, and really just, you know, see what they're talking about here. I sold my smoker for like a little under $1,200. So some guy came and got it, and they dipped on out of here, and I got some cash, and I'm gonna buy myself the grill dresser, and I already ordered the foaming and all the stuff I need for the bottom drawer cooler drawer.
Nice. That's nice.
And I also got the 100 pieces of $100 bills for movies. I got me some fake money coming.
Ah.
Some prop money for $9.99 on Amazon. Some money prop. It says movie prop money, full print, two-sided, play money, one stack, 100 pieces, $100 bills for movies. It's only one stack, though, but that'll be enough for the podcast videos.
Oh, yeah. Plenty, 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 plenty. I'm thinking about adding a room above my garage.
Oh, I like that.
Like an apartment suite there for when people like yourself come over or whatever. Yeah. Like you have your own apartment suite.
What kind of scratch are we looking for on a job?
It's a lot. It's got to be, I'm going to wait for these current wood prices and shit to drop down, obviously, because things are three times as much as I normally would cost. And right now, today's market, I'm just going to take a conservative guess that it's probably a 400, it's probably a 600 square foot space. So that's probably going to cost $160,000.
Really?
So I'm guessing you can get it for, $70,000 after prices get back to normal.
Okay. And also, what we aren't looking at here, we're talking about now we got an Airbnb on rotate. They got their own entrance. They got their, now we got the money flowing in.
Exactly. That's what we're thinking, because, you know, 500, you get NCAA regional finals, shit like that. When we get the one day we're going to get the finals, we get Super Bowl back, things like that kick off. I mean, Indianapolis, a lot of people come here to stay for different reasons. You kick that Airbnb, like a high-priced Airbnb up there.
Yes, sir.
Let's go.
And next thing you know,
it pays for itself in about 2 months, I figure.
2-3 months tops, man.
I'm easily going to be able to rent it out for anywhere between $40,000 to $50,000.
Tell them you will follow on Instagram for an extra $100.
Yes.
That's you hooking people up. You hooking people up, man.
Boom.
When are people going to get it, dude? You guys don't get it. That's Todd doing the work, hooking people up. If you don't get it, get off our feed right now.
Maybe I'll even put a, there's a, it's going to have its own outdoor entrance inside wherever the stairwell goes up to it. I'm going to put like hotel doors. So there's two doors.
Yeah.
Can be locked from the inside or from the outside.
I like it. How about this? Yeah. Let's put a patio deck over your back deck right now.
So it has its own little hangout area outside.
Up top. Yeah. Then we look down at the bar and guess what? When you're packed, when you have people there, you can literally be, you could have a bartender working and you have, you offer your, a bar nightclub back there, donations only, obviously, to slide around the liquor laws. But guess what? That's a package deal you can add on for another, and you know, and obviously you're gonna have to put in the, you know, in the bylaws and in the small print. Don't think you're going fucking buck wild and putting me out of business, piece of shit. Okay. Type kind of verbiage.
Ooh, also, it provides like a roof to the patio, the stone patio that's out there right now.
Yes.
You can sit out there in the rain.
Yep.
Come on.
Exactly.
I could put a hot tub under there. I don't got to worry about shit falling in it.
You could put a firefighter pole so they can come straight down.
Come on.
You could put a slide there so they can slide right to the bar or at least to the ground floor. Mm. I mean, right now, there's a thing called the sky. And guess what? That's our limit.
That's the limit.
You the sky's the limit here, man.
It's right there to where, you know, you've seen people shoot through the stratosphere. And when it goes from sky to just space, that's the limit, that line right there.
Exactly. And we can't sit here and explain it to everybody. I can't explain to you why space is dark, but the sun's blaring light to the earth. Mm. You know, I can't explain it to you, but I don't have time for it.
Yeah. Space is a vacuum. Figure it out yourself.
There's nothing to reflect the light off. It's fucking dark matter, guys.
You ever look inside a vacuum? Like, look inside your vacuum.
Turn it on and stare at it.
Turn it on. Put your eyeball up to the end. It sucks. And when you look in there, it's going to be completely black.
Get a good look, man. Get a good look in there. But make sure it's on full blast, guys. And then guess what? Turn it on the other side and let it shoot everything into your face. Mm. That's if you want to get a good inner looking, that's what you got to do. And that's called space.
Are we astrologists? No, it's just common sense.
That's common.
Use it.
That's what we learned in school. And that's what we didn't forget. You guys forgot.
Everything you want to know about space is right there in your closet.
It's right there, man. Turn off the electronics one time. Look up. Mm. That's space, kid.
Yeah. Just walking anywhere that doesn't get light.
Yeah.
Boom.
Guess what? There's nothing to reflect it off of. That's the problem.
Mm.
It's about reflections.
Come on.
Like you guys should all reflect right now in this episode. Should you probably tip us $10? Yeah, but we want it? No.
No.
But just know you should.
Keep it.
Keep your money.
It's a gift from us to you.
Yeah, pretend like it's a wallet, okay? And we found it and we just give it back to you because we don't want it. We want the karma. We want you guys to have your shit. We don't want you running errands. We don't want you at the DMV.
Right now, take out your wallet. Pull out a 10 spot.
Mm-hmm.
Pulled it out as if you're handing it to us and then stop, bring it back in, put the $10 back in your wallet. We just made you $10.
You're welcome. That money was not your money. Now it's your money.
You had already let go of it. You'd already paid out $10 and we're returning it back to you, which means that's profit.
That's
100% profit.
mentally, that money was separated from you and your finances. It was handed over. We hand it back.
So right now, you should tweet out to your friends with a link to this episode and say, everybody that listens to this episode makes $10.
Yeah. That's and then they're going to be like, wow, how? And I'll tell you how. This is how.
Yeah, they'll learn right at the end of the episode.
Did we physically link up and did you hand me the money? And I said, no, I handed it back. No. But mentally, you let go of that money. You gave it to us and we're giving it back.
We're allowing you to create the money infrastructure yourself. We're not developing an app in order to get you your money. You know what? Because we're smarter than that.
Yeah. Eliminate the middleman.
Eliminate the
transaction.
We don't need Apple taking 9% or 20%, 21% of your $10 just to do the transaction on an app. Take it from your wallet, hand it over to us, bring it back, put it back in there yourself.
You're welcome.
That's 100% profit. We're not paying anybody.
That's a big fat you're welcome. You.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, guys.
Sean, this has been a lovely episode. Educational. It's been real. It's been insightful. And people aren't getting this just anywhere anymore.
They can't.
It's a lost art that we're bringing back.
They got to come here for it, Todd. They got to come here for it.
Oh, yeah. Go get some more. If you're near Philadelphia, come see that show. If you're near Louisville in August, go see Sean's show. Also, in Ohio, we'll be posting a show soon that Sean and I both will be at.
Yep.
Somewhere in the great state of Ohio. And once we get that figured out, boom,
it'll be on
there. And you'll know. And then you can go there and get more of this.
Later, buddy.
Love
you. Later. Love you too, pal.